if we don't speak up, then they never know. And this is how stuff like this gets through on huge bills. If you don't agree with it, I would highly encourage you to contact these people. Let them know that if they don't hear it from the people that vote them into office, then they have no idea which way that they should be fighting for this.
Welcome to the Free From Wall Street podcast, where we share how we have done over $200 million in real estate deals to create, preserve, and pass on generational wealth without the roller coaster ride of the stock market. If you're ready to start investing with purpose, visit freefromwallstreet.com. But for now, let's dive into this episode. Okay, welcome back to the Free From Wall Street podcast. We have a special edition today. You know, we don't do a ton of guests, but we do the important ones. We have Alex Perney from Advanta IRA, and we're going to be giving kind of an urgent update as we have some news coming out of the Ways and Means Committee from our new presidential administration that affects not just the rich, ironically enough, which is kind of what the whole tax bill has been touted about, right? Tax the rich, get after them, pay your fair share. Here's maybe an unintended consequence from Ways and Means that has to do directly with your retirement account, my retirement account, and the retirement accounts of literally millions of people. So we're going to dive into what some of those things have been. Alex, thank you so much for jumping on in short notice after you guys sent that email out.
Yeah, absolutely. It's been a bit of a scramble on our side of things for many different reasons. You know, whenever you have $1.3 trillion of proposed spending, you know, they got to find a way to pay for it. And unfortunately, it seems like some different agendas are kind of taking hold with this. And some of the very unintended consequences are some really kind of pet project language that's been bundled into this. We don't have finalized language on any of this stuff. We have the proposals that have come out so far. The tax title sections that we're going to be looking at are going to be 13.8301 through 1.2. So it's a couple of these subsections in here that primarily just have to do with IRAs, specifically retirement accounts. And at least, you know, the way that we've worked together in the past is that when y'all have tried to raise capital for a project and you had people that wanted to use an IRA to invest in, you know, otherwise maybe you're not wanting to use personal funds or just take advantage of that great tax opportunity you have to, you know, either defer taxation or not have any taxation with the Roth IRAs, they're coming after that. And they're coming after it fast. So it's one of those things where we've, you know, sent out proposed letters that you can send to your Congress people and representatives. We do highly encourage that you take the time to read into this stuff. And I'll kind of go through the high points of it, because when, you know, the main talking points of a lot of this are taxing the extremely wealthy. And one provision of this, I think most people can kind of get behind. And that one is when people are talking about, oh, these, you know, Peter Thiels with, you know, $5 billion IRAs and Mitt Romney's, there is a provision in there to kind of go after that. Essentially, one of these provisions is stating that anyone, a single household filer that has a $10 million plus IRA can basically no longer have any assets or returns go into that to create a value higher than $10 million or $20 million on a filing household, which, you know, if you have $10 million plus dollars in retirement plans, you know, good for you. But it would essentially say that you have to take a required minimum distribution of at least 50% of the capital that's going in over the $10 million mark. So that one, you know, maybe isn't too bad. I'm kind of trying to start with maybe the more palatable items on this and work our way back. Now, most people are kind of familiar with Roth conversions in some form or fashion. And a lot of people, especially higher wage earners, are familiar with the backdoor Roth conversion. They're also coming in after that with this proposed legislation as well. What essentially it will do is that any filer that is a single taxable income over $400,000 or married filers with more than $450,000 of combined income at a household will essentially no longer be able to do a Roth conversion, whether that is a backdoor, quote unquote, conversion of your just contribution, which you already get double taxed on. So I'm not sure why they're putting that in there, because you get taxed on the non-deductible basis portion of your conversion. So you do get taxed twice on it. So I don't understand why they're cutting that out, but that is one thing that they're cutting out. And then the big part with that is that, you know, it will outlaw essentially conversions of any kind. There used to be a limitation on it before 2010 that was removed from the tax code. So now anyone can do a Roth conversion, which allowed a lot of people to be very strategic with their tax planning, which is a great freedom. Part of our tax code is being able to strategically say, hey, you know, I made less money this year, I'd like to do a Roth conversion, or I'm going to make more money this year, maybe I'm going to put off doing that. So that way you can properly plan. And kind of the whole idea of these types of retirement plans is to lessen the burden of Social Security, make people more financially independent, give people more choice. And that's really kind of being stripped away here. So, you know, one, they're going after the very, very high dollar IRAs, which in most summations, you know, are extremely far on the bell curve. You know, that's obviously what people want to go after. You know, if you have $10 million, $20 million in a tax shelter, you know, okay, you know, most people kind of get where they're coming at with that. But a lot of the other stuff that people really need to be aware of, and kind of the key amount of money that you're looking at making, is $400,000. So the key kind of income threshold that people need to keep in their mind when they're thinking about this, and whether or not this stuff will directly affect them now or possibly in the future, is $400,000. And that is, if you are a single filer and you make over $400,000, you can no longer do the Roth conversion. So $400,000 being the demarcating threshold for that. Now, another part of this, with especially specific to what people like Steve are doing in Integrity Holdings, is that they're going after the ability of an IRA to invest in really true alternative assets, insofar as that anything that's deemed a private equity, a limited partnership interest, or anything that is not a regulated security under the Security Exchange Commission. So what that would mean is that even if you are an accredited investor, which right now under regulation Reg D, C, and B, I believe, of the Jobs Act, allows for individuals to pass on their accredited investor status to retirement plans, trusts, and other entities they own or control, that you would no longer be allowed to utilize your IRA as an investment tool for any type of private investment. So someone putting together a limited partnership to take down an apartment complex, you know, maybe even something as simple as what people like to call checkbook IRAs, where you have a single member LLC formed just for that one IRA. There's no other partners. You're just using it for administrative and personal preference, things like personal land trust, for just, you know, obfuscating the name on title to a piece of real estate. You know, not only are they going after the structures and these different types of entities, but really the ability of people to administer their retirements in the way that they best see fit. And the other frightening part about this is that not only would they prohibit that going forward, they also are putting in a retroactive clause saying that you would have essentially 2 years to divest these types of holdings from the books of whatever it is. So we're not sure yet if that means that the investment provider would have to then in turn retitle the asset on their side, or if the responsibility would be placed on us as the custodian to notify and distribute these assets to our clients within that 2-year window. There's still a lot of unknowns with this on exactly how that they would go about enforcing that. So, you know,
I mean, let's unpack that for a minute, right? Because this is really what I see is kind of the biggest issue. And, you know, my immediate thought was like, who are the special interest groups behind this, right? I mean, we run a podcast, you're listening to it now, called Free from Wall Street, because we try to educate people that they do not have to go into these publicly traded types of securities that are regulated by the SEC, because you have these other options here. But now they're kind of taking that away. So does that mean that I have to only invest into stocks, bonds, mutual funds? I mean, if all these alternatives where I'm a limited partner or a part owner go away, what does that mean that I have left to invest in?
So and here's kind of the problem, is that it's really a handicapping of the individual on how they structure their investments, because on face value, does it limit you by saying you can only invest in certain things? Well, no, but it kind of makes it so hard that, well, you know, how else would you accomplish it? So could you still invest in something like real estate? Absolutely. You could still invest in something like real estate, but could you do it through a trust or an LLC? Probably not. You would have to do it directly on title. So you could think, you know, if you're talking about a small piece of commercial property and you have 10 people, you know, sticking 10 people as tenants in common on a deed, I mean, that's just, It would just make for a nightmare. It would make things really messy, and it would just make things harder for the investor to do things efficiently, which, you know, efficiency is makes everything easier, especially when you're talking about the Internal Revenue Service. Is it easier for, you know, a bunch of people to be tacking this stuff on their 1040s or just take care of it on a corporate filing where you have K-1s? I don't know the answer to that, but I would think that the first one would be harder to do. So does it limit that to that scope? No, it still gives us the ability to invest in alternatives, to do things like, you know, lend someone private money. It gives you the ability to buy a piece of real estate, but it significantly limits your options on how you do that. And administratively, from, you know, the commercial or multifamily side of things, you know, it really kind of makes it to where, you know, how else would you accept an IRA? And you really couldn't at that point, you know, with regard to how the regulations go under the Jobs Act, you know, you couldn't necessarily carve out a specific portion just for one asset class and still have it be under the same offering, as far as I understand it. So that's a real big portion of it. And then kind of underneath of that, they're also extending the prohibited transaction time window to look at things from 3 to 6 years to try to give themselves an additional buffer for all of the stuff that's going to have to be unwound over the next few years if this passes in its current form, to be able to go back, you know, throughout this over the next, you know, rolling 6 years to be able to go back and examine this. So, you know, there's just a lot of issue with that that I think people really need to be aware of.
Yeah. So, I mean, let's say I'm one of two people right now. One, I'm already invested as a limited partner into a deal that's supposed to be a 5-year deal, and I have to unwind it in the next 2 years. We're still waiting on the guidance as to what that's going to look like, right? I mean, we can't give any real advice yet because it's still in the proposal form.
Yeah, we don't know. And the problem with a lot of this stuff is that it's very, when the IRS starts imposing restrictions, you know, they'll get sued every which way to Sunday because of it. So while the problem is if this passes, it's going to cause a nightmare because, one, then we have a timeline that we have to work towards, but then we're going to have, you know, all these different people suing the IRS and the government. So it may very well change. So it's kind of one of those things where you have to work towards a goal that may vary, and the goalpost might get changed 3 or 4 times before you even get there.
Sounds like so government to me.
It's incredibly important that people, you know, get out there and look at this. And the argument, at least from the different budget watchdogs and different think tanks, is that these provisions right now, out of the over $3 trillion of revenue or of money this is proposed to spend, these provisions are approximated to raise about $2 to $4 billion. $2 to $4 billion. So, you know, we really encourage you, you know, it doesn't matter what side of the aisle, you know, we try to stay very apolitical here at Advanta. Sure. You know, even though this is, you know, coming from one side of the aisle, you know, it wouldn't matter if it came from the other one. You know, our responsibility and our goal is to make sure people, whether they're clients or not, whether it's people, you know, on other platforms, have this information, because it will affect everyone. Even those a few kind of nuggets I think everyone can really get behind, you know, like I said, the real big IRA part, sure. You know, I don't think many people would argue with that. You know, some people would say, hey, the government should never cap how much money you can make. But when you're talking about tax shelters, okay, you know, there's going to be some give and take with this. But, you know, a big bulk of this really can have some really far winding effects. You know, it may sound great to say, hey, you know, these rich people that are already accredited, you know, they can't do this. Well, it doesn't take, with inflation, you know, that 10 years ago when the accredited investor standard really was formalized with the Jobs Act, yeah, you were significantly, you know, wealthier. But if you say, you know, 3% a year inflation, you know, what, relative 30% buying power of the CPI regarding how much money you had then versus now, it's not nearly as striking to kind of make that correlation. So the people that maybe have worked hard, saved, now have different avenues or are able to invest in these other types of alternatives, now we're not being able to. And it trickles down from there, because not only is it the, you know, quote, more rich people that this might be proposed to be aimed at, but it will also affect, you know, people with a $100,000 IRA or a $50,000 IRA that maybe just want to partner with one other person to invest in one single family house and do it through an LLC to make things easier on them. Well, now they don't have that option. Now maybe, you know, it's going to be a more administratively trouble than it's worth, and they're going to be forced into another type of of investment that may be on Wall Street when they didn't want to be there in the first place. So,
yeah. Well, we've taken the newsletters that you guys have sent. We've repurposed it. We sent it to everybody that is on our platforms as well. So you can contact your legislators, reach out to them. Advanta did a great job laying out a letter that you could send. That's a good kind of template that if you'd like to use that, you can. It'll also be in the show notes here so that you can reach out to your legislators. You can reach out and let them know that, hey, you're just a regular person looking to be able to direct your own retirement funds the way you see fit. And, so reach out, make sure that you are reading this bill. What Alex mentioned at the beginning of the show is kind of what you want to focus on. We also have that highlighted version of the PDF. It'll be attached to the show notes as well. And if you guys have any questions about it, I'll have Alex's email information on there as well. You know, what I like about working with Advanta is that they are kind of on the forefront as a custodian watching this stuff. So if you're not utilizing them to self-direct, then, you know, they're a great company. We have a lot of clients, kind of a special team set up just for our clients. So if you have questions or comments or whatever, make sure you reach out to him. I'll have all of his contact information in the show notes. Alex, anything else that we should be touching on? I mean,
no, it's just with bills of this size, and I know it can be daunting, and regardless of what side of the aisle you might identify on, I think a lot of people are kind of a little bit burnt out from politics over the past couple of years. But, you know, it's incredibly important to look at what the highlights of bills like this are. So that way, you know, we can exercise our civic power and talk to congressmen and representatives to say, hey, you know, if you don't agree with this, you know, if we don't speak up, then they never know. And this is how, you know, stuff like this gets through on huge bills like this. So, you know, if you don't agree with it, you know, I would highly encourage, you know, contact these people, let them know that, because if they don't hear it from the people that vote them into office, then they have no idea of which way that they should be fighting for this. So again, we will continue to bring updates once we get full copies of this legislation. You know, we are working right now with, you know, our trust company and lobbyists and other people to try to get this message out there. If anyone has any questions, I am always happy to chat one-on-one. I've been pretty much doing that for the past week, 5-10 times a day with people and talking about their specific situation. So, you know, feel free to give us a call. You know, it can be a little frightening, but, you know, we're here to give you the facts and, you know, walk you through it. So I appreciate you, Steve, having me on today. It's great to get this information out there. Hopefully it helps some people. Hopefully some people are informed by this and, you know, can make good decisions going forward and, you know, try to help fight this if they feel inclined to do so.
Absolutely. So thank you for listening to this urgent message from Free from Wall Street. Thank you, Alex and Advanta IRA, for all that you guys do. Reach out to them if you have any questions, and we will check you next time. See ya. Thanks for listening to the Free from Wall Street podcast. If you like what you hear, leave us a rating and review and let us know what you think.